If I'm making my clients happy, then that's all that really matters to me.
Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with professional portrait photographer Tony Shaw. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm so excited to talk with you because I've been just watching you, not stalking, but watching your work, especially on Facebook because we're part of a photography group in the same group. And you're just constantly putting out awesome work. And I was like, I need to get this girl, this woman on the show, this professional. So I'm just so glad that you have time to chat with me today.
I'm honored. And I know there are so many other people that are so much more well-deserving. So this, you know, this is very exciting for me too.
Well, let's first have an overview of yourself and your background. Can you tell us kind of where you came from, how you got started, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Oh, it's so crazy. I had a babysitter a long time ago, and he used to draw. So I have a fine art background because of him. I started pretty early. He used to do, like, comic book heroes. And that kind of took me all the way through high school, doing a lot of, work for different people, drawing and things of that nature. Went to Winston-Salem State University, where I took my first photography class. And I just remember, like, it was film days. So I just remember, like, wanting to find someone to teach me. But around that time and era, like, you didn't have, like, the access that you have now. Mm. You know, it was those type of men who, you know, mostly men, you know, the photography world was kind of dominated by mostly men at that time. Mm-hmm. And they had their studios. And then you had those who, the uncles would come to the party and you never saw the images again. Those are the only people, those are the only people that I knew of. So I just kind of put the photography side down because I didn't, you know, the numbers, the f-stops, the ISO, all that stuff kind of like overwhelmed me. I didn't know anything about it. Then after school, I went to into graphic design and I designed for North Carolina, the state of North Carolina. And mm-hmm. Real estate company, did some graphic design for them. Then meanwhile, I was doing portraits and things of that nature out of my apartment. I didn't pick up a camera until about 30 years later. And if that roughly, and that was when my daughter was born. I started taking pictures of her. I was that quote unquote mom talk. Mm-hmm. And the company that I worked for hired me. They saw some work I had done, and it just kind of blew up from there. And when the company went out of business, I said, you know what, I'm going to go into business, and I'm just going to go for it. And that's kind of how it happened. I've been shooting full-time for about 5 years now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's impressive, especially when I look at your work. It looks like you've been shooting for much longer.
No. No. I study a lot. I'm mm-hmm. self-taught. So mm-hmm. I study a lot, and I look at the industry. I look at those people who are leading the industry. I study their work and their friends' work. And, you know, it's just an ongoing cycle for me. So I experiment a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is important for the process. Mm-hmm.
It is.
So yeah. I've seen your work on your website, but for the benefit of everyone here, what area of photography specifically would you call your expertise?
I cringe. And this is why. I don't really like to say that I specialize in anything. Okay. I don't want to get pigeonholed into like being a wedding photographer, mm-hmm. Or a headshot person, or, you know, an animal. I do it all. And that's kind of why I've been in business for 5 years, because people mm-hmm. can call me and they'll say, hey, Tony, I need a shot of this cake, you know, for my, you know, my portfolio or whatever. And I can do, you know, a portrait of the cake, in a picture of the cake. So I just, you know, I do portraits. I do weddings. I do infants. I do, you know, newborn imagery, maternity, pretty much all of it. The only thing that really that I don't do a lot of is the commercial side. I do some. I shoot for a couple of magazines, but needless to say, the area that I do more in would be like my dance, fine arts, and the wedding side.
And it is stunning work. Tell us your website, by the way.
It is www, of course, dot Shaw, Shaw, Photography Group, GROUP.com.
Very cool.
And you know what? I just want to say, people ask me why Shaw Photography Group. I was a little chicken. I was a little afraid when I first started. I needed help. You know, I didn't know anything about photography when I started. And the way that I kind of covered for that was like offering, being able to pull other people, other photographers in to help me. And it just kind of stuck. It was just like one of those type of things where I knew that it wasn't just about me. You know, I needed other people to help me, support me. And that is that group, you know, those group of people, that group of people that was there to show me how to expose, to show me how to pose, and to show me, you know, to do this, that, or whatever. And I just, you know, I just said Shaw Photography Group. Plus, it also made it look like I had a big team of people in this in this area that, you know, I could pull from. So if I couldn't do the job, then I had other people that could.
You know, let's pause and talk about that for just a second, because I think that's really interesting that you realize that it seemed like it was ahead of the game. I feel like a lot of people get started. We'll use myself as an example. When I started, I created my business as Shamir Studios. And it was only years later that I began to realize I needed to incorporate other people onto my team in order to help scale up. And so I've seen other people only think about incorporating a team maybe years into it, but right off the bat, you gave yourself an easy name that allowed you to kind of instantly, easily beginning that process of working that into your brand. How cool is that?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of that had to do with my previous background was fine arts graphic design, because with graphic design you do get the opportunity to study and learn a little bit if you care about what you do. You know, you don't just stay in your hole, you expound and expand and into other areas, and marketing was one of them. So even though I didn't get a degree in marketing, I was very aware and fully aware how people think, you know, and you know, just like colors, choosing the right colors, you know, certain colors are used to provoke certain reactions from people. So it's the same thing with this. You know, number one, Shaw Photography was taken. I couldn't use So, and I knew the other thing was I was very well known in the area already because of different factors. So I want to use my name, which most photographers do. So I was like, okay, just because I want people to know what I'm doing and who I am and where I am at this point in my life. So I'm using my name. And it just worked out. It just worked out. So Shaw Photography Group wasn't taken for anybody's website. So it worked. It worked out for me.
Awesome. So you do have other photographers underneath you, like associate photographers, or how does that work?
Well, I don't know if I call them associates or not. I really don't. You know, I've thought about that. I still haven't come up with a proper name or a way to respond to this question. But what happens is this: I have photographers call me and message me every single day. They're wanting to learn they want me to teach them, you know, what I know, and they want to learn how to be a better photographer. So what happens most of the time, and these are the photographers that I currently work with in regards to the business. I'll explain what I'm talking about in a minute, but I'll go back to that. But they assist me in a lot of different ways, you know, and some of them are coming under me to help build their portfolio. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have that group. Then I have another group who are professionals. And those people are people who I know specialize in certain things. They meet my expectations as a photographer, and they shoot similar, if not better, than I do. So if you call me and you need something done and I don't have the expertise in it, or I can't be that, or I'm not available for you, then I have a pool of other photographers to go to and reach out. So, you know, it's networking. It's working as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we get, as photographers, we really get blamed for, in so many ways, being selfish.
Mm.
You know, we're afraid that somebody's going to be better than, you know, ourselves. And I think we're really doing ourselves a injustice, because I can learn from someone that's better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And it's way enough people out there in the world to make money from, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I help people all the time. I don't necessarily expect that help back, because sometimes people get intimidated about what you're doing and how you're doing it, but it's all good. I just think that we should work together, to work with each other, to help bring each other up. And if we can just do that, it will make our work, our lives, everything so much easier.
That is an awesome answer. And I feel like I caught you a little bit by surprise in that I asked that question kind of off the top of my head about the teamwork aspect. That's just so fascinating.
It's okay. Yeah. I really, truly, like, you just, if people understood, like, the number of inquiries I get a day,
mm-hmm.
the questions I get in regards to how to become better, how to become stronger.
Mm.
If I had that when I was in the short time that I've been shooting, I would probably be a lot further along. You know,
wow.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to give away my quote unquote trade secrets, because if I tell somebody what I do, I ask them, if I answer their questions, they don't believe me. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. It's because of the techniques and styles that I used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're used to a specific a type of answer. Example, and I know we're getting off the subject, but I do a lot of one light setups.
Mm.
But I have people contact me, and they're usually or men who are used, they're gear hogs. They usually say, I have 5 light setup, and I'm like, why? They're like, that they want to shoot like me, but I'm using only one light, and they're using a lens that probably costs like 3 times as much as I do. You see what I'm saying?
How dare you?
You know? So I'm like, you're using 5 lights. Why? I don't understand why. What's the point? Yeah. So.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, next, could you tell us, in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out from an average photo?
Oh, what makes a good photo? What makes a good photo stand out in front of a... Well, I think the first thing is, off the top of my head, I'm going to say probably the content.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then composition, not just one thing, but it's composition. That's really important. And then the uniqueness of the, you know, the type of tools that you use, the editing tools. You know, a lot of people use Photoshop, but there are some other things that can help enhance, you know, your images. I love using Photoshop, and some people say, oh, did you Photoshop that? If you do it right in camera, you don't have to Photoshop. Well, so what? You know, what if I just want to use Photoshop just because it's there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The creativity aspects of it, you know, helps our photo. And the great use, the color, the tonality, color, and exposure. I mean, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to me. Those are the main, you know, things that I think that I use for myself.
And, you know, those are great, because we're constantly flooded with images today, mm-hmm. everywhere, online, TV, billboards, everywhere you look. And so as image makers, as photo takers and memory preservers, we need to know what makes our own images stand out from the crowd.
Yep.
And so that's why I love asking this question, as difficult as it is. I mean, even just looking at your photos, Tony, your images caught my eye months ago. And this was on Facebook. Like, I saw your Facebook photos long before I ever visited your website. And this was just, you know, in the feed of the group. So that's after image. And I kept seeing yours. And I learned to recognize yours. Yes. Out of all the others.
I know people say that, and they're like, Tony, when I saw it, that I knew it was yours. I'm like, how? I don't get that.
You know, there's a tell me, I could be wrong, but the way that I see it, at least from what you've posted on Facebook, there's like a flair, a type of drama, kind of in the way that you set up your lights. Also in the way that you process the photos in Photoshop. I love Photoshop, by the way. It has you written all over it.
I appreciate it. I don't know what that is, but I just do from I connect with the client, mm-hmm. and I have this thing in my head. I don't know what it is. My friends say that I have a third eye. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of believing them, because when I take my glasses off, I can't focus as well. But I just try to connect and just kind of focus on what I'm wanting to create from the inside. Everything's come from the inside, and then whatever comes out, it just comes out. It may not be perfect, and it may have some flaws in it, mm-hmm. but it's okay, because I've moved on to my next image. Mm-hmm. You know, I've moved on to my next job. I'm one who, I don't have favorite images like that. Mm-hmm. You know, people say they don't like to be critiqued a lot of times. They don't like the image to be critiqued, because like they have this look that they like, and nobody can tell them any different. For me, critique me all day long. It's fine. You won't hurt my feelings, because you're lingering on this image and I've moved on to another image. It's okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, next, let's talk about the tools of the trade. Now, I want to preface this by saying that I firmly believe that the gear, the equipment that you use, that's not the only thing that makes or breaks a photographer.
Yeah.
But this is a photography podcast, and it's inevitable that I'll get questions. Oh, what does she use? What does she use? So I do like to ask this question of everybody. So briefly, could you tell us what your typical go-to gear is for a shoot?
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I'm not the norm. I don't get into having the latest and the greatest gear. Mm-hmm. I have two Nikon D700s. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're ancient in today's time, different types of speed lights. I have, my SB900, SB700, and a few other off-brand, name brands as well. But my lens that I use the most, which is, I mean, like, I'm going to have to tape it up. I kid you not. It's a 24-120. Mm. Many, many people are just beginning to know about that lens. It's a Nikon 24-120.
Okay.
And then I have a Sigma Art 50mm, which is it's a 1.8. Mm. And Lord, I love that lens.
Mm-hmm.
Those two lens, that's it. I don't believe in buying like expensive equipment, because it does not indeed make you a better photographer at all. I will get people trying to figure out what I use, and when I tell them what I use, it's like dead silence at the end. Like, they don't understand how I'm creating what I do with what I have. But I just upgrade accordingly. Like, you know, I just buy when I feel like I really need to buy and I want to take it to another level. But otherwise, it can be years before I upgrade to anything. I mean, years. That's including my software. You know, once I get into a groove, it's just what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. And yeah, you know, it's looking at your images, they are extremely advanced. And it's about knowing how to use the equipment that you have.
Yeah.
You know, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but when I first started shooting seriously, I was at a magazine. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty big magazine. And I had a Canon, it was a T1i. Mm-hmm.
I do.
Oh my goodness. And you know, that was the lowest, I guess it was the cheapest camera amongst the staff, but it was good enough for the magazine. And that thing was international.
And that's what counts.
Yeah, no one ever asks, well, what gear are you using? And I should amend that. Other photographers may ask.
Right.
But the satisfied clients, the end users, they don't care.
They don't care. They don't have a clue. They don't care. They just want the end product, and that's what counts to them.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I, by the way, I love the 50 millimeter prime. Yeah, the 1.8.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of my little gems, too. Love it.
Yeah. I just got that probably about 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I was using my 85, which most people will say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I actually traded my 85 in for the 50.
Wow. That's a love affair right there.
Isn't that funny?
Well, next, could you tell us what is your favorite photography accessory other than your camera?
I won a spider holster from a camera artist summit in
Detroit.
Those
are cool. Yeah.
Well, I love them. What's so funny is that I'm not quite used to it yet, because when I take it off, I immediately lay my camera on the ground. it's a learning curve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I love it because it just makes me look cool and it's hands-free, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I like I have the Think Tank belt system. And I've kind of combined the Think Tank belt pockets with the spider holster.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So I'm trying to make that work, but I just do me. I just do me. That's it. I don't try to be like any other photographer. I don't try to have what other photographers have. My thing is, when I talk to people and people who are training under me and working under me, do you, know, be happy, you know, listen to what the industry is saying, but it doesn't mean that you have to be consumed by it and that you have to follow that, you know, that path. Necessarily, because we know sometimes we can be too technical and it takes the fun out of the photography, and when it's not fun anymore, then, you know, what's the point?
Right. Yeah. Where were you like 10 years ago? I could have used this conversation.
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with one of my closest photography friends, and he's always talking about that I need to be more technical. And I was like, why? You know, why? Mm-hmm. I can create what you create. And the more technical he started talking, the more nervous I got, the more uptight I got, the more I realized I was like, I'm not really liking what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I let that go, and I just got back in the zone. I said, I got to do me. I got to do what's going to make me happy and what's going to make my clients happy. If I'm making my clients happy, then that's all that really matters to me.
That's right. Absolutely.
As a full-time photographer. You know, if you're a hobbyist, it's a different story. You do have you can make your clients happy that you have, but if you're a hobbyist and you're doing some things for yourself, then just, you know, make yourself happy.
And that's an important distinction to make, actually, because I firmly believe if you want to keep it as a hobby, then that is wonderful. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you want to make a business out of it, then that's great, too. Mm-hmm. But there's this whole other can of worms, I guess, I'm opening with. For me right now with my business, the ratio feels like I'm doing maybe 15-20% shooting and then 80%. Other business stuff, dealing with numbers and administrative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for any listeners who are considering or trying to cross over from hobbyist to pro or semi-pro, understand that there's so much more that you'll be doing than taking photos. There's a whole lot of this other stuff that you'll be doing. So you got to be prepared for that and keep yourself educated, like you were talking about, Tony.
Yeah. I went to Detroit's Camera Artist Summit.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to Georgia, Florida, back to North Carolina a couple of times. I'm from North Carolina, so I've had going back and forth home all in the last 2.5 months, plus moving out of my old studio and out of my apartment. So I did all of that and doing dance and wedding season. Okay.
It is
a lot. And like one of my studios that I do, I've been working with them for about 7 years now, is over 100 children.
Mm.
And they all shoot at least, I mean, they all do at least 3 to 5 costumes. Okay,
Wow.
so I go in the studio and shoot from 4:30 to 9:30 for a whole week, and then have to do their recital on top of that. I left North Carolina and drove to Maryland the same night and shot another studio on a Sunday and got back in my car and drove back to North Carolina for a whole nother series of sessions. It's a lot of work.
You are an animal
It's just
in
that
a good way.
that's a short story of my
Wow.
the last 3 weeks, actually.
All the while moving into a new studio.
That's 3 weeks right there. That's just three
My
weeks.
goodness. My goodness. If you're looking for a way to speed up your workflow and quickly take your photos to the next level, check out the professional Lightroom presets we're offering on ProPhotographerJourney.com. With a single click, use these presets as a solid starting point when editing your photos, and then customize each Lightroom effect to your liking. Your friends, family, and clients will be amazed at your photos. These preset styles include soft and subtle, all the way to dramatic and edgy. Just head to ProPhotographerJourney.com and check it out. Well,
Yeah.
Tony, next, could you describe to us briefly what your workflow is like after the shoot, as far as processing and editing the photos and software?
Yeah, so what I like to do is first, I like to back up everything. And some people just back up on one external. I back up on 2 to 3 externals, depending on what the job is. And usually I back up on the two immediately and then the third one. Then I import everything into Lightroom and then do all my editing in CC, Photoshop. And I use not my favorite software to use is Nik Software. And that was I've been using Nik Software before it was free. I was really disappointed that, they let the cat out of the bag. And so I'm hoping that no one abuses Nik Software, just like they did the HDR stuff. But yeah, overprocessing.
I've done that in my day years
So we
ago.
all have, right? When I look at this, my images that I have just really destroyed will never be seen, okay?
Yeah, we all definitely do have that
But
going
it's a
on.
learning process.
It
It
is.
is. It's a learning. If you are studying the industry and you're looking at other work and you're really taking in what they're doing and saying, then you should grow and you should see where you grow, where you were and where you are now. But if you're not seeing any changes in what you're doing, if everything's looking the same, you're getting the same type of comments and the likes, that turns people on, the likes. I don't know why, but it does. Then you need to kind of reassess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But that's pretty much it. Once I do that, I upload them to a gallery for my clients to see. And depending on what type of session it is, depends on whether or not I do an IPS, an in-person sales, or if I let them just purchase directly from the gallery that I send them.
Excellent. And that actually takes us into the next segment of our discussion where we talk about running your photography business. Because this is huge, and I consider it the meat and potatoes of the discussion, maybe for selfish reasons, because I just love talking about it. There are so many challenges with running your own photography business, from the sales, from having the money discussion, from figuring out the workflow. So for you, Tony, what's been the most challenging aspect of being in business for yourself, and how did you overcome that?
For the last 3 weeks, what I just told you, staying organized. Oh my goodness, it has been so difficult because one of the things that I do is I try to make sure that if my client calls me on today, I am calling them today. Some people say 24 hours or whatever. No, I call them because they can make a phone call to someone else within a couple of minutes of leaving me a voicemail, and I lose that job. So staying organized, I also use 17 Hats, and it's called 17hats.com. Some people don't know about it. It's a brand new company basically, and they're going through a lot of upgrades and things of that nature. But when they finish with everything, it's going to just be a dream to you to use 100%. But that helps me a lot because what 17 Hats does is a client will provide their email address. I'm able to send them contract quotes, invoices, follow up on the specific types of jobs, export to shootproof.com, just a ton of different things. It manages the, you know, it takes my payments. So all of that is right in front of me, you know, and it helps me. Actually, you can develop a workflow within 17 Hats. So it would tell you to call the client, to follow up with the client, to send out the album, to order the album, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. Staying organized in 17 Hats. They are quite awesome. Mm-hmm. They were at WPPI and I got a chance to chat with them.
Really?
And interview them for the Photo Focus podcast.
Oh, awesome.
They are
awesome.
Some cool, cool people.
They are.
And they're not paying me to say this, by the way.
No,
they genuinely care.
I met them at PPA in Georgia this year, mm-hmm. Atlanta, Georgia this year, and they're just really great people, and they're working really hard. They just hired a ton of different IT people to help them handle the load and make mm-hmm. the changes that we are asking. You know, they're actually the kind, and I'm not trying to do a promo for them either, speaking from the heart, but like if you go on their site, you'll see where people are asking for different types of, you know, things that they can utilize to help make their workflow easier.
Mm-hmm.
And they will let you know in that whole form if they're working on that process, if they're finished with that process,
mm-hmm.
or if they're decided not to do that process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And for anyone listening who's really getting so much business that they're finding it difficult to stay organized, then I do highly mm-hmm. encourage you to look at these different
yeah.
Different online softwares. There are other ones. I'm using yes. Sprout Studio.
I heard that was good.
Yeah, they were also at WPPI, and I got a chance to talk to them too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only for photographers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they focus on anyway right now. And again, they're not paying me to say this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they were just, they 17 Hats is awesome. You know, just mm-hmm. as much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sprout Studio, that's another good one. And it revolutionized
yeah.
my business because I was so disorganized. And just to have mm-hmm. even a workflow that you can mm-hmm. do in Sprout Studio or in
right.
17 Hats, just knowing what's going to happen as you
right.
move the client along your funnel, it's such
that's
peace
right.
of mind.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of those type of platforms, you have the opportunity to design your own templates. So
yeah.
I have questionnaires that I send my clients, and the questionnaire is attached to, you know, it's already pre-made. So I attach it to my client's email
mm-hmm.
and, you know, any other correspondence. And literally, I don't have to keep typing the same information over and over again.
Right.
So
right.
it's just done. Like, I can do a quote, invoice, introduction, thank you, all of that in less than 3 or 4 minutes.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, whatever system that anyone ends up using, make sure that it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give you such peace of mind. I remember when I first hopped on the automation or semi-automation train
mm-hmm.
And I sent out a contract and they filled it out online, the client, mm-hmm. and they sent a payment early, like a week early. And I'm
right.
like, what is happening?
Yes.
I didn't have to do a thing.
Yes.
I love it.
When my phone says ding, I don't have to look at it. I'm like, yes, I got paid.
Yep. Oh, it's awesome. So, Tony, what have you found to be the most effective techniques for getting new clients then?
Mm. Word of mouth, networking. The way that I network is pretty old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I get my name out there is pretty old fashioned. I do what is called guerrilla marketing. A lot of people don't use that term anymore, but it fits me. It fits my personality. One of the examples I give is I basically to get some of my clients, my larger clients, I would attend. And don't judge me, anybody, but I attend like the city parades.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they will line up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning just to get ready for the parade. I'm out there with them. I'm taking candids of them.
Mm-hmm.
I take pictures of their banner. And then once I get home or to my office, I go and see what their presence is online, process the image, and I will email them one. I will put one on their Facebook page or I would mail them one and then wait for my phone to ring. And that's kind of how I got into the dance studio.
I love it. Portraits. Not judging at all. I mean, that's you're putting in effort. You're willing to put in the work to get the clients.
Too many people are like, well, my phone is not ringing. Well, you're not doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are too many opportunities out there for you to just try. Just try. Knock on the door, make a phone call, send an image to someone, go pick up all the local trade magazines and find out who the editor is, send them an image. And that's how I've actually grown my business. And just providing good product and not giving the clients a hassle, you know, not giving them a hard time, and not getting upset because they won't buy from you or, you know, you have to keep moving. You have to keep moving.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as marketing yourself constantly, everyone that I've had on this podcast, successful photographers, at the moment, I can't think of one. And maybe there are a small handful, but the dozens of episodes, interviews that I've recorded, even when they're killing it and making a ton of money, they're always marketing themselves. Always. And I can't remember who told me this, but one of them said that the perfect time to market yourself is when you're super busy. Which seems kind of counterintuitive, but you always have to be putting yourself out there. The phone is not going to ring. You're not going to get emails if you're not doing anything. That's not how it works.
You know, there's something that you just said there that reminded me of what I went through. I had a wedding Friday and I had a wedding Saturday. And those weddings, I literally go to the wedding rehearsal. And many photographers don't go to the wedding rehearsal. They think it's a waste of their time. I go there to purposely market myself. Because you have that group there captive. I tell them about who I am, what I expect for the day. I have business cards there. I have postcards there. Let them know that they're not going to get anyone any better than I am. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm throwing my sales pitch out there. And I make them laugh and make them smile, and they'll come to me and ask me for my card and whatever. And actually, do you know, I got a phone call today from the wedding that I did just Saturday.
Nice.
And I booked the wedding, I mean, booked a job with them today for July.
Nice. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Yeah. You have to make an effort.
You do. All the time. Even when you're, you know, when you have a bunch of clients and you're doing well. And you think that you've made it, you still have to be putting out that effort.
Absolutely.
Yep. Awesome. Well, could you tell us what's the most common mistake that you see other photographers make or that you have made as far as running the business? And how do you overcome that mistake?
Well, I don't think I've ever, made this mistake. You said how I overcome, but one of the most common mistakes I think I see in the industry are those photographers that are immediately concerned about how much money they're going to make, how much they can charge a potential client, versus thinking about how they're going to satisfy the client and get that repeat business. You know, some people think certain people in certain brackets can bring them more money. And I have proven that to be total opposite, you know, and completely wrong. That I think is one of the biggest mistakes ever, because to me, you're really truly thinking you're not connecting with that person necessarily when it's all about the money. It's more, for me, it's more of the quality and the satisfaction first, and then when you do that, then the money will come, you know. The guys, most of the guys that follow me, and I say guys, and I literally mean that, some of the guys that follow me, they will say, you know, that they can't wait to do their IPS, and they're going to charge X amount, and they're doing this, and they're going to do that, and I'm going to hit them up this, and I'm going to hit that, and I don't ever hear them say anything about connecting with the client.
Oh, that's definitely out of balance.
It is. You know, so then you come back and then you say, well, I don't have any business and my client didn't call me back, or my client, start asking yourself why. What is it that I'm doing wrong? You can't blame the client. You have to take the blame for all of that as a business owner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so funny that you mentioned this, because this is something that's been on my mind probably for the last week and a half with my own business. Mm-hmm. While it's true that you do have to know your numbers and mm-hmm. you have to know how much you need to charge to cover expenses, all mm-hmm. that stuff, and to make right. a living,
right.
customer satisfaction is at the heart of it all.
100.
And it's, you know, it's there have been quite a few changes with my own business in the past year as far as whipping it into shape. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on the numbers has been a large part of that. But recently I had to really check myself and make sure I'm focusing mm-hmm. on making these clients happy and making connections mm-hmm. and even, yeah. you know, being able to call some of them friends after That's the right. process is over, because that is so extremely important.
I have gained a ton of friends. I can tell you literally, like, since I've been shooting weddings, which has been 9 years, I can pick up the phone and call any of them and it'd be a great experience. I can call any of them. Your clients are not stupid. They know and can sense when you're more concerned about the dollar than being concerned about the service that they expect you to provide.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So I get it. Yep.
So what's the one thing that you wish you knew before you stepped into photography professionally?
Biggest thing, social media. Boy, jeez. One of my assistants kind of turned me on in how to use Facebook. Now, I was already on Facebook, you know, posting here, there, every once in a while. But he really showed me, like, how to use Facebook. Mm-hmm. I wish I had that knowledge from the very beginning. I used it, but I just didn't know the real power in it. Mm-hmm. And now, from my understanding, once I learn about it, know about it, then it's probably too late. But Instagram is like one of the biggest social media outlets that a photographer could ever use.
Yeah, so, and I just joined like 6 months ago, so I'm late too.
See, but isn't it something? But, you know, I mean, like, I've heard in the last week a lot about Instagram, yep. and I'm like, I'm on Instagram, I don't get it. But you know, I'm going to refocus and try to get my act together and see what everybody's talking about. One of my friends was like, "Tony, are you on Snapchat yet?" I said, "Are you kidding me? No." She was like, "Oh my God, I'm getting all my seniors from Snapchat." I'm like, "Oh my wow. God, another social media outlet that I have to worry about now."
But you know, it's about learning each one by one and finding out what works for you.
Yes, yes.
Because if you absolutely. Learn just a little bit about everyone, you're not going to get anywhere with it.
That's true. That's yeah. true.
Yep. You got to dive deep and learn them well. I like to say one by one anyway. Yeah. For me, that's all I can handle is adding one at a time.
Yep, you're right. Well, mm-hmm. But, you know, my clientele has been more like not a good 90% word of mouth mm-hmm. In general. So I had I was pretty steady with my business at the time. Mm-hmm. But since I have learned more about the ins and outs and how social media really works, it has really, you know, opened up my eyes and brought in business in a lot of different ways. It's not like people see my work online a lot and then they call me and say, "Hey, you know, that percentage is probably about, you know, it's pretty low." Mm-hmm. But the thing is, their friends will see it, or their friends' friends will see it. It's just the presence alone, you know, mm-hmm. is very beneficial. And it helps me sometimes too, especially because of the comments and things that makes me see what other people see in my work.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I never would have heard of you if it wasn't for Facebook.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly.
So earlier, Tony, we were talking about the importance of education and really trying to further yourself as a photographer. Is there a particular resource, an online course, a book, even a tool that you have found helpful with your own business?
Oh, I'm such a nerd when it comes to this kind of stuff, so I'm going to kind of contain myself.
Don't hold back. I'm a nerd too. I love it.
So everybody's like, "Well, how did you do this? How did you teach yourself?" Everything that I taught myself has been basically, you know, just looking online. The people and the stuff I'm getting ready to tell you right now were like game changers in my life. Mm. And I tell everyone who starts out asking me how and what, I give them these links and say, if you do this, if you watch this, if you read this, then, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, this is how I learn. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes don't think they believe me, but Scott Kelby, I do. That's weird. I just don't think they believe that I'm telling them the truth. But Scott Kelby has a website called The Grid. If you search Scott Kelby mm-hmm. TV, I think he has one a link there that's called The Grid. He has a few there that are teach other things, but The Grid is live. And it's on every Wednesday in Eastern time. It's at 4 o'clock, and he does critiques, and he has other photographers in the industry to come and critique like 5 or 10 images. I learn a lot about composition, about what's acceptable or not, based on that. And then the biggest one as well is Creative Live.
Mm-hmm.
Many photographers you wouldn't believe just have never heard of it before. But Creative Live, and that tells me a lot too about where you're spending your time and how serious you may be about being a photographer,
right?
Especially professionally, because some of these things are out here. It's just a given, and you know, you do the research, you keep looking, you follow the trail, and you find good stuff at the end of that trail. CreativeLive.com. I listen to like different podcasts, like Petapixel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start listening to yours more often now.
Awesome. Hey, there we go. Thank you.
Absolutely. And congratulations on that. This is a project, you know?
Thank you.
I would never take that project on. I couldn't do it.
It's a labor of love. Yes.
Yes. And just listening to anything about photography, like even though I'm not a landscape photographer, mm-hmm. I listen to landscape photographers talk about their work.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, boudoir sessions and stuff like that. You know, I don't do a lot of boudoir. I do them, but very seldom. But I follow people like Sue Bryce,
mm.
who is one of the best, you know, female portrait photographers I know
mm-hmm.
in her own right, in her own style. And I may not do boudoir, but I know that, you know, I can get a lot out of what she's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, it's important to stay on top of what's out there, kind of, you know, expand your horizons. Even if, like you said, you don't do landscape or a certain type,
right.
it's still good to constantly be learning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, this has been awesome. And I feel like I could nerd out about this stuff for another 2 hours. But unfortunately, I have to wrap up the interview for the sake of time. But one of the most important things I want to make sure that we do cover, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but could you tell us where we can find you online?
Sure. ShawPhotographyGroup.com. And I have another website that very few people know about, but I do memorial photography, and it's memorialimprints.com. Mm. It's self-explanatory when you see it. memorialimprints.com. Then social media is I'm Twitter, I'm at Shaw Photography. Facebook, I'm at Shaw Photography Group. And Instagram, I'm at The Shaw Photography Group.
Awesome. And I will make sure to include those in the show notes.
Great.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. This has been awesome.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It's been nerve-wracking for me. Up until the time you call, but I'm glad it's done and over with, and I've enjoyed it 100%. You made my life so much easier and made me feel comfortable. I appreciate that.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank awesome. You.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.